So, Chris, you're old enough to remember a couple years ago when Time Magazine came out with Is Truth Dead?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all know what that's all about. Do you know what that was, like, hinting at?
Well, yeah, I had to look it up because that was a startling cover to me, but I didn't have the reference point until I went back and looked it up.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
The reference point.
Yeah.
April 8th, 1966,
yep.
Time Magazine was the first one to say it out loud, mm-hmm. and they asked, Is God Dead? And
pretty
the
provocative
nation,
title at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what they were really asking, don't you? I mean, it's not whether God is dead. Either God either existed or not.
Well, yeah,
God doesn't
die. It was
die.
More about the church or belief. Yeah. Or
Christendom, right?
Yeah,
Christendom
right.
was over. But you know what all that is about is God and believing and the church petrified.
Mm.
So we've been talking about small T truth and big T truth. And how do I sum that up quickly? Big T truth is when we petrify. Like, I'm going to take what I believe or what I know, what I understand, and I'm just going to make it true for everybody. I'm going to...
It's going to be eternal and firm and certain.
And petrify.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So in some ways, it has a lot of wonderful characteristics in that I'm sure about it and it's clear, but it also is not dynamic. It can't live.
And when you get to those big things like God and the church and belief and the Bible, you know, when you start touching on some of those things, as soon as you petrify it, as soon as you put it into a cute little box, it's not going to be worth your time anymore.
Right.
And I think it's only a matter of time. It's going to be, I mean, that's why you see these big arguments pop up from staunch church leaders about God's not dead, or, you know, it's like you fight back against these things because you don't have a whole lot to hold on to when you're holding these tight little packages like this, these petrified pieces.
Right. So small T-truth doesn't seem big enough, duh, for God, but it really, I believe, is the real thing. And small T-truth says, I sense something that is absolute out there, but as a human being, I can't really have that. Mm-hmm. But the small T understanding of it is precious. And I know that I always need to let it grow. I need to let it get bigger. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were talking about how small T truth versus big T truth is an important part in our lives to let ourselves really live and grow and become who we need to be,
yeah.
and how we need to do that for others. But it has real implications for
the grander philosophical things of life, too.
Right, exactly. And in summary, I guess you could say this whole thing of being in relationship with God is a small T mm-hmm. truth, which is holy and precious.
Yeah.
And religion, at its worst, is the petrified version. It's the big T truth.
Claiming that, those big T realities.
And that is what Time Magazine was wondering if it was dead or not.
It is, yep.
And I think
without
today,
question.
Today it would not be a is God dead, it would be God is dead.
And in a lot of ways that's a good thing, that people are rejecting those petrified versions that the church and other, you know, powerful organizations and individuals have been purveyors of.
By letting go of big T truth, by letting go of this petrified God, we have this chance of actually embracing the small T truth of God, the living.
Yeah, that's our only access to right. those bigger realities.
So that's kind of, I think, exciting for us. And it's not, you know, too hard to understand that Christendom, in a culture that didn't change radically over, you know, decades and centuries, mm-hmm. generation to generation, there was enough commonality. People shared enough belief systems and living systems and so on that what worked for me and my understanding is likely to work for you and your understanding mm-hmm. in the next generation and so on. So there's this temptation to create this monolithic, this institution. Mm-hmm. And, you know, institutions are, again, petrified mm-hmm. life, right? But that isn't the way it is now. Now we live in such a pluralistic society and we are aware of people who have life experience so radically different from us. We even realize how different our neighbors' life experiences mm-hmm. from ours, maybe our own family members' life experiences for ours, and we really need to let it live. So what are some of the things that we need to let live by letting go of this, you know, big T, absolute, I'm sure it is this way, and hold on to a small T truth version of it, which says there's something essential, something holy, something great here, but I need to let it live and breathe and grow mm-hmm. and change and continue to realize it. You know, and one is God. We've talked about that a little bit when we just using the name God puts God in this box and petrifies God.
Enough that many of us kind of shudder at the, you know, they kind of back off a little bit like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to have this kind of conversation if you're going to wedge it into a box here.
Right. Yeah. And when you say God, most people think, oh, that petrified version, I've seen it wielded out there and it looks scary to me.
Yeah.
One of the common things, and I think we've probably said this in the podcast before, when people say, I don't believe in God, my typical response to them is, tell me about this God you don't believe in, because I probably don't believe in that God either.
Right.
And it's got to be bigger. It's a God that's been let out of that box, a God that we realize, like, I maybe have a stronger sense than I've ever had before, but I realize that there's more to experience and grasp about God yet than I've ever done in my whole life up to this point.
Yeah.
That kind of position.
Well, it's interesting, too. We should be getting these cues from art, and not just you know, high art, but, like, satire and everything else about our perspectives, like, how they're being warped. You know, I think about Gary Larson's Far Side cartoons and, you know, the kind of sitting on the cloud God stereotype, just humorous, right? Or I enjoy the depiction of Ceiling Cat in the Lolcats little meme, where it's like God as this cat poking his head out the ceiling. And it's just like, guys, we should realize if these are the memes that are kind of coming out from the cultures and subcultures that we're creating around these deep, rich, beautiful things, there's something pretty wrong.
Yeah. And then, you know, one step from God is God's book, right?
All right.
The Bible. Not only the Bible, but the Holy Bible.
Yep.
And here it is, and it's my hammer to make sure that you believe the right way.
The right thing, yep.
And rather than be in a relationship or seeing this as a document of people who wrestled with God, you know, they were Israel, those who wrestled with God and were just trying to figure it out. They're trying to understand what this relationship is like. But instead, we turn it into, no, they told us this is how it is, and this is what you're supposed to do, and this is what you're supposed to believe. And, you know, so the Bible becomes this object that sits on your desk that you need to conform yourself to. But what's written on the cover? It says the Holy Bible, and that word holy doesn't mean I'm right, you're
authoritative
wrong.
Authoritative, and yeah.
Right, holy, if you get back into that, is this sacred place that, you know, the ancients thought when you're in the presence of the holy, you better take your shoes off, you better be careful. No one gets into the presence of the holy and leaves unscathed. I mean, you are vulnerable to it. It is going to mess with you. And that doesn't mean it's going to make you believe and follow these rules. It means it is going to transform you. You are going to be a new creation every time you encounter it.
Well, that makes me think of, I mean, you mentioned the people of Israel being that people that wrestle with God, you know, that that comes from that story of Jacob, Israel, who wrestled with God in that story. And that is such a beautiful picture of how we could interact with these deeper mysteries. But even that, you know, it's so easy for that to become a cute story that goes into a storybook. Like we write it in stone.
Right. So it's our heritage, and it's our heritage to hold it lightly and to humbly stand before it and not to tell other people, this is what it means, I know it, and you better do it.
Right.
So that kind of takes us into that whole realm of believing. We do the same thing of believing, is that you got to believe the right way rather than the wrong way, rather than being subject to and being in relationship to.
Think the right thing, understand the right thing. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is just fraught with all kinds of trouble.
Anne Lamott had one of her sayings, which has always been a favorite of mine, and that is, you know you have created God in your own image when your God hates all the same people you do. The version of that would make sense for this conversation is, you know you have created God in your own image when everything that God tells us we're supposed to do happens to coincide with your opinions.
Yep. It supports everything that you already think.
Yeah, right. And
convenient.
Yeah, right. So other people need to conform to how you see it.
Yeah.
Another petrified part of religion is the church, capital T, capital C, which, when we talk about the church, I would imagine most of our minds go to the institution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, that's petrification of a relationship that we are called into community for. And so when you say the church, or when you say church, do you think the Holy Catholic Church is institution? Do you think of the building that your grandparents or that you go to? Do you think about that hour on Sunday morning or Saturday night, whenever it is you go to church? Is that church or is church people?
Right. And there again, you know, the petrification of that beautiful, real, messy community into an institution, into a building or a time or a specific sort of practice for a community, that has caused us to let go of those things, you know, to say, well, if that's what this is, I'm out. No thanks.
So when people have rejected the church, which by and large has happened and is increasingly happened, again, I don't think people are rejecting community over things that embrace their whole selves and other people and this world that is beyond us. What they're rejecting is that institution. They're saying, I don't need to do it the way your institution needs me to do it. I don't want to be a cog in your machine where you have petrified this relationship that we have with each other and with God and with ourselves. My world isn't like that. So when we began Jacob's Well Become Fabric, one of our core ideas is that we're a people, not a place. We're a kind of church you are, not the kind of church you have. And that is a semantic thing that we can say to remind us, but we have to live that. In fact, we've built so many things into our community to make sure that we don't go down that slippery slope of what would be convenient for us, which would be to institutionalize it, to petrify it and codify it and make the relationship, make the contract with people clear, both what you're supposed to do for us and therefore what you get by being a part of this. So being valuable and being relevant to people is a whole different thing. It means, like, do we actually reflect and help you be in the world that you know yourself to be in?
And it's a little bit tricky to do that, you know, from the point of view of an organization, you know, of a movement to create the kind of rails for that so that you can actually make good on it too, because there are some pieces of institutionalism that really, I mean, they help keep things in line there.
Right. Not every person wants to reinvent this for themselves. Not every person wants to figure it out every week. So there are systems, there are ways, you know, there are, and I think that is the organizational side of it. But as long as the organization clearly facing the movement rather than its possibility to turn itself into an institution, we're good. Which means, you know, in small t truth fashion, that everything always has to be negotiable, right? Like, this works really well. It helps us meet the things that we think it's important for us to be about as a community. And when it doesn't, it can be changed. And it should be changed. I don't know. What does this small t truth look like in your view of thinking about God, or how you feel about this idea of believing and what you're supposed to believe or not supposed to believe and what actually feels like true commitments and core things to you? Or is your frustration with the Bible that someone is trying to make it into something absolute for all times and all places rather than a living, breathing document that needs your engagement with it to make sense as much as any theologian of ages past or the present day's interpretation? And how does it reflect your understanding of church? If church is going to be that stone building on the corner that people go to as part of their club membership, or if it's a community of people who are going to say that figuring this life stuff out together is more important than anything else I really can think of doing, and I want to do it together with you, if that could be church, would you be more interested in what church is all about? We'd love to hear from you. Pass on your ideas to us.